Blog Talk Radio.
Tuned in to Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us, yes, you and you, let us exalt that wonderful name of Jesus together. Truly he is great. And he's greatly to be praised. And I come today just to lift up that wonderful name. And I am so excited that you have joined me on today. I tell you, child of God, I have a beautiful lesson for you on today. The unfeathered gospel is what we will be speaking about on today. And I tell you, won't you grab your Bibles and come on in and make yourself right at home. Truly, God is going to bless you in a mighty and a special way. And so as you're grabbing your Bible and getting all settled in, I want to again to say thank you for allowing me this opportunity to come into your home, your places of abode, to spend this hour with you and this time of sharing and talking in regards to about our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Truly, he's worthy of all the praise, glory, and honor. And so as we gather in our thoughts, and I want to invite you to go with me over to Acts chapter number 28, and we're going to look at verses number 20 to verse number 28. And we have a wonderful lesson as we get ready to look at the word. Let us pray. Father, we take this time to bind the forces of darkness, and we come right now in your wonderful name, in the name of Jesus. Asking, oh God, that you will bless us, that you will move by your power divine. Everyone that will listen to this particular broadcast, I pray a special blessing upon them and come in agreement that whatever their heart desires, according to your sovereign will, we pray that you grant it, and I pray a divine release to take place in this session. And Father, we thank you as you give us revelatory information that will bring forth great manifestation and demonstration and consolation, liberation of your wonderful power as we break bread with one another on today. And Father, we thank you because you're gracious and you are so faithful to do what you said that you would do. And we praise your blessed name and give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Truly, it's been great and is great for what God has for the children of God. And we're going to be talking about the unfeathered gospel. And so I invite you to go with me to Acts chapter number 28. And we're going to look at verse 22 also all the way down to verse 28. And the scripture reads on this line, for this cause, therefore, I have called you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with chains. And they said unto him, we neither receive letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that showed or spake any harm of thee, but we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everyone where it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him by a day, there came many of to him into his lodging, to whom he is found, and testify the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. Seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are full of hearing, dull of hearing. And their eyes have been they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But be it known, therefore, unto you, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentile, and they will hear it. Let's look at verse number 20, because that's where we will take our focus from on today. And it reads on this line, for this cause, therefore, I have called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. Today we're going to talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ is greater than any person's ministry, and it cannot be bound. Let's take a look at what we are lesson for today. I appeal unto Caesar. This is what Paul said in Acts 25 and 11. This simple phrase initiated a chain reaction of events that took Paul through quite an amaze. As a result of this simple phrase, Paul almost persuaded even King Agrippa to become a Christian. Paul was sent to Rome with other prisoners, and also he suffered shipwreck. Paul shipped off the vehement beast without harm and conducted a healing crusade on the Isle of Melita. He was consigned to prisoner status and etched the freedom of the gospel into the recorded history. As a result of this single phase, Paul was both acquitted and sentenced under Nero. This entire set of events resulted from these four simple words, I appeal unto Caesar. Now, the scripture states over in Acts chapter 26 and verse 32, then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar's. Now, appealing unto Caesar appeared to be a bad decision to Agrippa, but Paul knew that he must do so in order to survive. Had he not appealed to Caesar, he would have been set free by the state, but the Jewish leader would have had a fresh opportunity to plot against his life. By appealing to Caesar, he had Roman protection. By becoming a Roman prisoner himself, Paul created a forum whereby he could record the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, as a result, Paul's prison epistles were with us even now and forever. Now, these passages of scripture and their accompanying historical events illustrate the incredible virtue and character of the Apostle Paul. Now, this lesson, it also displays his brilliant tenacity, his commitment, as well as his courage. After being braving a riot, braving being stoned and shipwrecked, and many people would have called their commitment sufficient and embarked upon life of retirement. But Paul didn't retire in spite of the fact that things didn't seem comfortable or was not comfortable during the time he was trying and striving to accomplish the will of God. I want to say to our hearts that sometimes, even in the midst of ministry, it may not even sometimes be comfortable, and it may even be challenging and even cause some tension. But it's no time for the child of God to buckle or to back up or to turn in and no longer move forward in the things of God. Paul, after all of that Paul had already accomplished, nobody could have accused him of being lazy. the gospel sued to home stretch of leisure, he blazed a hot trail for Paul's soul. He was pouring out his soul, and he did not pursue leisure, but he pursued making sure the gospel was being delivered. Now, he also pursued yet more opportunities to preach and persuade and build the kingdom of God, as was customary. His pursuance resulted in even more misunderstandings, even more false accusations, even more legal battles, and eventually death. And so here Paul, his mind was made up and he was sold out for the gospel's sake. Let's take a look at the life of Apostle Paul. Now, Paul up under the house arrest in Rome. Paul was placed up under house arrest when he was in Rome. Now, although this seemed like a terrible inhibition, this actually set the stage for a profitable conclusion of his ministry. Now, you must see it out of your spiritual eye and see it out of the eyes and the heart of God. Even though he was going through all these things and situations in his life, God was allowing him to have a profitable conclusion unto his life. Now, it was quite possible that Paul was able to continue to trade while a house prisoner. Thus, he was able to dwell in his own hired house. He held a well-attended gospel meeting in his home with leaders of the areas, and he preached and he taught those things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's look further. As a Roman guard was with Paul at all times, and can you imagine the impact that was being made even on that guard's life? Of Paul sharing the gospel and teaching the gospel, preaching the gospel, writing the letters and the epistles unto the churches. Whatever you do for the cross sake and for the gospel sake, it is affecting and having an effect upon those that are around you, even if they never say anything to you, even if they have not chosen even right then to make the Lord Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior. God will use those opportunities to bring back to their hearts and mind what he was doing in the life of the man or the woman of God. Now, let's look further here. The same guard responsible to keep Paul from escaping also kept him safe from many of the plots that was against his life. The same authority that bound Paul kept him alive to pursue exploits for the kingdom of God. Without having consistency to look over his shoulders for assistance, Paul was free to engage in commerce, writing the epistles, preaching and teaching the gospel. Paul never ever gave up on accomplishing the mission for the Lord Jesus Christ. He set an example for we as the children of God can emulate, that no matter where you find yourself at, that the gospel that is inside of you can never ever go bound or unfettered, or locked up or inhibit. You can always either just be the gospel or write the gospel, teach the gospel, share the gospel, testify, share your story, share your kindness and your love unto one another. The gospel perpetually being propelled forward in our lives as the children of God. Every day we can touch somebody. Every day we can be effective in our community and effective in our community of influences around us by being kind, loving, long-suffering, temperance, and allowing the fruit of the Spirit to exude out of our life as becoming the true essence of our being, and God will create a door or opportunity to share the gospel. And this is what Paul was doing. The Roman government provided Paul the freedom he needed to pursue his apostolic ministry. Now, Romans chapter number 13, verses 3 through 4, it said, "For the rulers are not a terror to good work, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power through that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same? For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God and a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil." Romans 13, verses 3 through verse number 4. Now, obedient to the power attained of God's provision provides ample opportunity for one's well-being and to witness for the kingdom of God. In this case, the Roman government provided Paul his own personal bodyguard. This gave him the freedom to call together the chief Jewish leaders without fear for his life. Look at the multitude and the multiplicity of the wisdom of God. If we would look at it out of the natural eye, it could depict something totally different than what was in the heart and mind of God, how he used this guard as Paul's bodyguard. And I come to tell you, what seems to be out of order is God's order, and he will use that for his glory to profit and bless the children and the people of God to advance the kingdom of God. So wherever you find yourself at, whatever location, whatever situation, whatever circumstances that you find yourself in, yes, right today, God will use it for his glory. And I want to encourage you to go back and look again and see the hand of God moving on your behalf. Child of God, God is in all of that. We were sharing even on Sunday, God got you. Oh, yes, he does. He got you. And he's going to work it out. Not only does he got you, but he's in control of the situation. And now just trust the Lord your God to work it out on your behalf. Now, let's look here. Paul called the chief Jewish leaders together. And calling them together, he was consistent with Paul's chief mode of evangelism. He's finding a Jewish assembly and preaching Jesus as the Messiah. The Gentiles often were present in the assemblies also. Some would believe and some would not. Now, the unbelieving Jews often caused him harm. Paul, probably not having the opportunity to go to the synagogue, was still able to proclaim the gospel to the Jews. Now, Paul, he gave them an objective version of the story and why he was under house arrest. He openly told them that he was a victim of their fellow Jewish leaders in Jerusalem. He told them that he would be a free man except that the consensus of his fellow Jewish laborers was against him. He did not try to hide the fact that his incarceration was a result from the conspiracy that was against him. He openly placed this in the forefront of his introduction. And so Paul was very authentic. He let them know where he was at and what was going on, even in his life. Now let's look further. Now, for the hope of Israel bound with a chain. Now Paul made strategic use of his word, "For the hope of Israel I am bound." He also, "Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bound, but that the word of God is not bound. And you'll see that over in 2 Timothy 2 and 9. These were familiar words that was used by Paul. He said, the word of God is not bound. And I come to set something in your spirit today by saying, the word of God is not bound. Now, you may be in a circumstances or situations that's trying to bind you, I come to tell you how to get unbound today. All you need to do is to start speaking what thus said the Lord over your situation and watch God unshackle and take away those things that is like a facade that's trying to bind you and trying to push you in. God will take and unshackle that situation that's trying to hold you bound and keep you from believing God, that God is totally in control of your circumstances. He's totally in control of your situation. Just speak the word and watch God perform it, because the scripture says he watch over his word to perform it. Stop speaking negative. Stop speaking death, but begin to speak what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto your church about the matter. And if you don't know, take the Bible and just start quoting the scripture. Go to the Psalms and just start speaking. Psalms 27, Psalms 34, Psalms 24, and just start speaking the word. Psalms 121, and watch God. Psalms 91, watch God bless you in a mighty and a special way, because the word is not bound. If you don't know how to pray, pray the word and watch God perform it on your behalf. If you don't know what to say, speak the word. Watch God perform it on your behalf. Paul cuts straight to the theological hearts of his audience with the word, the hope of Israel. Every Jew longed for the delivering Messiah who would put Israel on the map and reinstate the kingdom of David as a major sovereign force in the world. Paul was a prisoner before he proclaimed Jesus as that Messiah and crucified and buried and resurrected. Paul painted himself as a living illustration of the Jewish dilemma at large. Just as the people were under the Roman bondage and desired to be a sovereign people unto themselves, so Paul was a prisoner to the same authority. He was rejected of their own, and he also, if the Jewish nation had accepted Jesus as the Messiah, Paul would not have been bound. But they had rejected Jesus, and Paul was bound. If the Jewish nation had accepted Jesus as Messiah, they would have found real freedom in Jesus Christ, freedom in his spirit. Now, let's look further, because Paul's message was rejected by these same Jewish leaders. Paul's message to the Jewish leaders were met with mixed response. Some believed and others did not. The meeting ended with some who reasoned for Paul's message and others who reasoned against it. Now, Luke declared the result emphatically, less than anonymous for the gospel. Paul quoted Isaiah prophecy in condemnation of the group, less than deceptive conclusion. And this is what the scripture said. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah, the prophet, unto your father, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, seeing ye shall see and not perceive. Acts chapter 28, verse 25 through 26. Some of the Jewish leaders may have followed up with Paul as individuals or as a small group, But we do not know that. The message that Luke conveyed is that the Jewish leaders rejected the gospel as a whole, and that Paul took this as full gospel for him to focus on preaching to the Gentile. Now, rejection of the gospel by the Jew is a rejection of God's ultimate purpose to reveal himself to his chosen people in full faith relationship. Now, although God saved the Gentile, Romans 11:24 clearly states that the Gentiles were grafted into the body of Christ. God's intent for salvation was first to the Jews, then to the Gentile. Jesus Christ is full and complete revelation of God. He is the full and complete revelation of God. To reject him is to reject the God who began revealing himself in the Garden of Eden and continued through the law and through the prophets. Now, in order to reject Jesus, the Jews had to reject God's fullness and crush his heart by following his ultimate desire. The heart of God will never be satisfied until the Jewish people as a whole accept Jesus as Almighty God and Messiah. Now, let's look further. Now, along the western banks of the 2,000-year-old Temple Mount, a network of subterranean tunnels twisted their way around the 20 to 30 feet below the surface. For 15 years, Jewish archaeologists worked in secret, removing dirt one bucket at a time out of the view of the Muslim authority. Jewish architectural believed that the Holies of Holies lies 100 feet from one of the tunnel rooms. Political mayhem broke out when the Israel archaeologists broke through the walls into the chamber beneath the Dome of the Rock. They patched the hole and claimed their tempters. However, they later created an exit to channel that led into the quarters of the old city. 3 days of protests that resulted with 60 deaths, 52 Palestinians, and 14 Israelites. The tunnel system has created an unstable foundation for the south wall of the mosque, with large crowds such as those celebrating in the Ramadan, and the walls fell and injured thousands. Now, on both the west and the side walls of the temple site, the unstable foundation of the mosaic threatened further Midwest unrest. Moreover, only acceptance of Jesus Christ will bring peace to Jerusalem and a world plagued with unrest. Now, the stone that the builder rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Jesus Christ, which the church is built, Ephesians 2:20. Those who reject Jesus may have religion, but they place their faith on shaky foundation. Only Jesus offers salvation. Now, the old city of Jerusalem is insufficient for eternal peace. Only the new Jerusalem, descending from heaven, offers eternal peace and rest. Now, let's look further. Now, Paul stayed in his own house for 2 years. Acts 28:30-31 state, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concerned the Lord Jesus with all the confidence no one forbid him. Now, Paul remained under the house arrest, but had liberty to pursue the trade that supported him. He also had liberty to receive guests and carry on his ministry. He had been confined, but people came to him. At the end of 2 years, it is likely that Paul was tired and acquitted, or the Roman government dropped the case against him. Now, let's look at another point here. Receiving guests. Paul created enough entrance in his life and message to attract guests to his dwelling. Being under house arrest, he was able to go out to the masses and attend the mosque and the synagogue, or even to advertise. He may have continued his tent-making business while under house arrest, and this could have been a means of continued contact with the public. Paul had full liberty to preach, to teach those things concerning the kingdom of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. He continued to preach with boldness, and no man forbade him. His Roman guards served not only to keep Paul in, but also to keep his enemies out. Paul had personal bodyguards 24 hours per day, 7 days per week. Now, let's look at another point. Writing the letters to the Philippians, Philemon, Colossians, and Ephesians, Paul capitalized on his imprisonment, and he used his time to minister to various churches and an individual by the name of Philemon. Paul sounded notes of victory and joy in his letter to the Philippians. He contended for unity in the church at Ephesus and in Ephesians. He battled false doctrine in Colossians church, and he pledged for mercy and pleaded for mercy and forgiveness to the runaway slave with his letter to Philemon. These great epistles of the faith are forever etched into eternity because of Paul's unlimited freedom. Paul's bounds meant eternal freedom for countless individuals. God had a divine plan for Paul to write these letters. And so, again, as we begin to examine the life of Apostle Paul and begin to contextualize for the relevancy of today's living, we can surely say, without a shadow of a doubt, that Paul used every opportunity he had to further the gospel and to make known of the plan of salvation to absolutely everyone he came across. And we can use that as an example, even in our life, to use every opportunity to share the good news, the gospel, and to touch somebody's life. Now let's look at Paul when he was acquitted before Nero. Now Paul probably released in AD 63 and visited Spain area before he was rearrested. And you can find that in the Illustrated Bible Dictionary. Now, Scripture does not declare how he came to be liberated, but it is likely that none came to accuse him, and he was thus released. A reasonable conclusion is that Paul did enjoy a period of freedom before he was arrested and executed. Now, let's look. Paul freed to preach the gospel and travel. And let's take a look at this. Many students of the Bible believe that Paul was released after 2 years imprisonment. They also believe that he further traveled preaching Jesus Christ before his final arrest and martyrdom in Rome. It was probably during this time that Paul wrote 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. Now, let us look further as we begin to look at the historical account of what's going on at that particular time. Let's look at Rome being burned. Now, on the night of June 18, AD 64, a great fire broke out in Rome. Nero, who was several miles away at his palace in Appium, when the fire broke out, he was already despised by many of the people, and he was unpopular with the poets and artists due to his claim to be one of them. Rumor had circulated that to be one of them, that he was mad. One rumor stated that he had ordered the city burned so that he could rebuild it according to his own fantasy. The Roman historian Tacitus was of the opinion that the fire broke out in an oil warehouse. Nero was desperate to allay the rumors and to choose to blame the Christians for this particular outbreak. Now, concerning the Neronian persecution of AD 64, Tacitus recorded these words in his annals. But all of the endeavor of men and all the empire's largeness and propitiation of their gods did not suffice to allay the scandal or banish the belief that the fire had been ordered. And so, to get rid of this rumor, Nero set up in Corpus and punished with the utmost refinement of cruelty a class hated for their ammunition, who were commonly called Christian. So he had a hatred towards the children of God or the Christian. And besides being put to death, they were made to serve as objects of amusement. They were clawed in the hides of beasts and torn to death by dogs. Others were crucified. Others set on fire to serve to illustrate and illuminate the night when daylight fell. For it was felt that they were being destroyed not for the public good, but to gratify the cruelty of an individual. And you can read that in the documents of the Christian Church on page 1 and 2. Now, this is what was going on in Paul's time, so that you can get a better understanding of the backdrop and the landscape of the historical content of that time for Apostle Paul. Now, Paul wrote in 1 Timothy sometime between his first and second imprisonment at Rome. From 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, it is clear that Paul has recently been in the vicinities of Ephesus, where he had left Timothy to fulfill a specific mission. 1 Timothy 1 and 3 said, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine." Now, let's look further at Paul's life. Paul wrote Titus from Corinth. Now, Paul wrote a second epistle between his two imprisonment in Rome. The book of Titus, like 1 Timothy, is a pastoral epistle belonging to the period at the close of Paul's life, and it provides valuable information about great missionaries. Titus 1 and 5 implies that Paul had paid a recent visit to Crete and gave Titus specific instruction to rectify deficiencies in the churches of that vicinity. Now, he wrote, "For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee." Titus 1 and 5. Now, let's look further at Paul, how he was rearrested. And that brings us up to where we're at right now. After traveling and preaching, Paul was rearrested up under Nero. 2 Timothy 1 and 8 reveals that Paul was indeed in prison. "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me and his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God." 2 Timothy 2 and 9. Also conveyed the same message concerning Paul being a prisoner. "Wherefore I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, that the word of God is not bound." Now, let us look at another aspect of this, what's going on in the life of Apostle Paul. Now, Paul was sentenced under Nero. Many biblical scholars currently agree that Paul was sentenced under Nero. In Adam Clark's introduction to 2 Timothy, he makes several statements that lead a person to this conclusion. 2 Timothy was not written during Paul's first imprisonment in Rome. Number two, Paul was located in Rome when he wrote the epistles. Number three, Paul was a prisoner at the time of the writing 2 Timothy, but not during the same imprisonment as alluded to in Acts. Number four, this had to have been a subsequent imprisonment. And number five, much general consent agreed upon the theory that Paul was imprisoned twice in Rome and that he was never liberated but martyred at the end of his second imprisonment. And you can find that out of the notes of Adam Clark's Contemporaries on the Bible. Now, let's further look at the imprisonment in modern time prison. Now, from the mouth of Paul himself, he often ended up in prison. You can find that over in 2 Corinthians 11 and 23. Clement of Rome specified that Paul found himself in prison seven times. It is possible that Paul responded to Nero's persecution of the Christian only to find himself incarcerated again in Rome. He could have judged that his presence would be a great comfort to those Christians who had fallen into the midst of the fiery furnace. Now, the second trial, Paul stood alone. And at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. 2 Timothy 4 and 16. It could have been that Nero was anxious to blame the great fire on the Christian that Rome failed to provide the normal defense procedures usually afforded a Roman citizen. Moreover, the atmosphere was so charged with political trouble at this time that many friends who would have normally have stood with Paul during such an episode was mysteriously absent in the fear of their own life. Whatever the situation was, Paul was before the Roman legal system by himself. Now, let us look further, because we're looking here at even at the concluding of the life of this great man of God. Now, Paul sent for Timothy and John Mark. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and 9 states, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me." A couple of verses down, verse 11 states, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." And then 2 Timothy 4 and 21, "Do thy diligence to come before thy winter." Now here we find that when we look in the text, we find that at one point in time, John Mark was not profitable for the doctrine, and Paul sent them home. And so now we find him in this text in 2 Timothy 4 and 11 saying, "I want you to go get John Mark because he's now profitable for me for the doctrine." Now let's look at, and for the ministry, let's look at this. Paul knew that the end was near. Perhaps he knew that it was important that he would reinforce future links to the continual proclamation of the gospel to ensure that it would continue even after his death. His great assets were the men who preached the gospel message in his absence: Timothy, his son in the gospel, and John Mark. Now, Paul invested great faith and much time and effort into developing Timothy. As Paul approached the end of his life, he wanted one last chance to bear his heart and soul to Timothy. As Paul requested some of his most prized possession, his cloak, and books. He also asked for Timothy to be the courier and the concierge for this. Paul probably wanted this young man to receive his last great effort of instruction for the future of the gospel. It is also interesting that Paul specifically requested John Mark and stated, "For he is profitable to me for the ministry." Now, this is the far cry from the episode that I mentioned earlier that took place in Acts chapter 15, verses 37 through verse 39, when Paul and Barnabas was disputing over Mark's qualification to continue with them in the missionary ministry. Apparently, Barnabas was successful at mentoring Mark and restoring his reputation even to Paul and with Paul. Now, let's look at what Paul wrote in 2 Timothy so that we could gain a better understanding as what was going on in the heart and the mind of Apostle Paul. Now, Paul faced certain death as a prisoner of Nero's persecution. He had to choose how he would best invest his time. He decided to write 2 Timothy, which was the final epistle in all his possible courses of action. Writing communication was the beloved Timothy's surface to the top of the great apostle priorities. As Paul pondered his death, he thought of his greatest life investment and how he could continue his welfare after he departed. The treasure of his heart was obviously the gospel. He chose Timothy as a primary custodian of this treasure. Now, let us even look retrospective in of our lives of how people who have gone on before us have entrusted this great treasure, even in our own earthen vessel, as they wanted the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to live on. And so we as children of God, we must begin to think, who are we passing it on to? Who are we sharing it with? Who are we investing time into? And that this gospel can continue on forward even after God will preadventure rapture us out, whether individually or even yet collectively and things. Who are we sharing and imparting and investing into the lives of individuals? Now, for I am not ready, I am now ready to offer, to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. This is what Paul said over in 2 Timothy, chapter 4 and verse 6. As Paul faced death, he used the illustration of a sacrifice. Paul used prophetic liberty here. He was in no way suggesting that his blood had efficacious power. Jesus' sacrifice at Calvary was the full and final sacrifice for sin. Paul's offering would be one of a martyr and not that of a sacrifice. For readers familiar with sacrificial theology, such as in Timothy, his language colorfully illustrated this point and made an indelible impression. Paul was further stating the urgency of the hour by referring to his pending departure. He was anxious to see Timothy before winter. Now, let's look at another account. Only Luke was with him, 2 Timothy 4 and 11. Luke accompanied Paul throughout his journey recorded in the book of Acts. This is evidenced by the writing of much of the last half of the book in the third person plural, such as we, and you'll see that over in Acts 16, verses number 10 through 17, Acts chapter 20, verses 5 through verse 21, and verse also 18, also chapter number, chapter 21 through 18, also chapter 27, verses 1 through 28, and also verse 28 through verse 16. Now, Acts was written by Luke, who included himself in the action once he had arrived on the journey. Luke faithfully attended Paul during many critical moments of his ministry. Now, he said, thirdly, he said, bring my cloak and books, 2 Timothy 4 and 13. As winter approached, Paul desired possession of his cloak. Prisons did not afford the best wardrobe, and his cloak offered a significant improvement for the quality of life. As scholars with times on his hand, he wrote books, meant much to him. He knew he could trust faithful Timothy to bring these important items to him. Paul understood that many persons decline being as soon as he ceased to learn and grow mentally. Even approaching death, Paul hungered even after knowledge. Now, another point about Paul, all men forsook him, is what he said. Over in 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 16, it states that persecution was strong. The Christians were martyred at every turn. Just as Jesus was forsaken by his closest friend at his trial, Paul was forsaken at his final trial. Even the Lord and the Apostle Paul was forsaken with personal security at stake. Number five, Paul was. He said, I was delivered out of the mouth of lions. 2 Timothy 4 and 17. Paul could have been thinking of the prophet Daniel who said, my God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth that they might have not hurt me. Daniel 6 and 22. As Daniel was unjustly thrown into the lion's den, so Paul was unjustly thrown into the pit of pseudo-justice by many accusers. And so here we have Apostle Paul's life and how that no matter what went on in this man of God's life, one thing for sure, he did not allow the word of God to become bound or unfruitful. In every station of his life, he always proclaimed the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, everywhere he went. And so we as children of God, we must recognize and remember to use every opportunity to propel forward the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't care how bad it looks. I don't care how bad it feels. Sometimes you can't even explain circumstances and situations away. But we must recognize that God is still yet working in every one of our circumstances and situations. God is at work. As I tell the church, if it looked tore up from the floor, that's still God moving and working in our life. Because in order for a carpenter to create or redo, he has to undo what is done and recreate what has already been created by causing conversion and transformation to take place in our life. And sometimes the process of conversion looks as though it's all out of whack, but God is working in the midst of it all, bringing out a great, beautiful vessel unto honor that can bring glory and honor unto him. And so I come to tell you, you will come out, and God will open the door, and God will make a way. He is a God that will not lie. If he's surely said it, he's surely capable and able to bring it to pass. Like one of our profile minister would say that, God didn't need nothing. He created something out of nothing. We are the one that need materials and substance to create. But God is the only one who's able to create something out of nothing. So God, in essence, he will take your nothing and make something out of it. And so today, God said, Helen, tell my people they got to give me something to work with. Now, yes, he can create something out of nothing, but he's already given us a measure of faith. And he wants us to take that measure of faith and give it back to him and put our measure of faith back in his ability to create good out of bad, to create something out of nothing, to create something out of, yo, not enough. He'll create just enough. He wants us to provide him with our faith to do what you are believing him to do. So, child of God, speak the word, believe the word, read the word, and eat the whole scroll, which is the word, and watch God do some profound things in and through your life. Even like as Pastor Paul, he was unfettered. The gospel was not bound. He sought every opportunity to share the gospel with those that was lost, those that did not know, those that did not have a full understanding. He seized the moment. And so Paul's personal freedom was bound time and again. He who preached freedom for the soul frequently found himself bound for the gospel of Jesus Christ. However, he used his fettered situation to ensure that the good news of the gospel remained untethered. Whether under the house of arrest or in prison, Paul preached freedom through Jesus Christ by word and epistle. Paul was familiar with the prison, stocks and bound with customary attire for this apostle. Paul used every ounce of his wisdom, every ounce of his wit, every ounce of his passion, every ounce of his conviction to the end of his very own life. At the climax of his life, he could say with integrity and true boldness, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. 2 Timothy 4:7-8. For Paul did, he fought the good fight of faith, being called into question for the hope of Israel, fighting the proclamation of the resurrection. He found himself in the midst of controversy and litigation. He left neither the religion nor the political crosswinds of his day stifle his boldness for Jesus Christ. When Paul was in prison for the first time, the Roman captors realized his honest character and allowed him to be incarcerated under house arrest. This allowed Paul to work at his trade, receive guests, and pursue his ministry. Although bound by geographical restriction, he boldly proclaimed the gospel through both tongue and pen. He systematically set others free by utilizing his fettered situation to break the chains of others. Eventually, he was set free, and probably due to the lack of credible accuser. Then he embarked upon even more evangelistic travels. He wrote another epistle. He witnessed the beginning of Nero's large-scale prosecution. Not being one to just stand by and watch, he returned to Rome only to be imprisoned again. This time, it cost Paul his life. Nero, who set upon blaming the great fire of Rome upon the Christian and Paul, and among many others, would die. Paul was sentenced and imprisoned. True to his character, however, Paul still continued to write and do all that he could to follow on in his efforts to establish the unfeathered gospel in the annals of history. He wrote 2 Timothy, and he reinforced his conviction into the heart of a younger minister, John Mark and Timothy. Paul used his chains of bondage to spread the unfeathered gospel. And so in my closing, I come to share with you and say, how are you going to propel the gospel that has been delivered unto you? How will you reinforce even the convictions of the hearts of those who are even around you by sharing that great gospel in their heart, minds, and soul? And so, child of God, I come to tell you and to encourage you, no situation can bound and unfeather the gospel. No matter where you go, no matter where you find yourself, continue sharing the good news, either by pen or by tongue, either by deed or by sharing your story. Watch God use you and touch the lives of many and turn hearts and souls back unto him, because he's given us the ministry on reconciliation. And so, child of God, I pray that your heart's been blessed. I pray that you're stirred to go back out and do the blessed work and the will of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because truly he alone is worthy of the praise. He alone is worthy of the glory and the honor. He alone can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh within you. Let that power work. Release the power of God even in your life. Father, I come right now, hastening to the throne room of God, and declare and decree a release of the power of the Holy Ghost that's within every individual that's listening unto this lesson, that I declare a divine release that will hit their spirit right now in the name of Jesus, child. Rabosha, receive that right now. That was an impartation that leaped right there into your spirit of release to do the blessed work of God of sharing, teaching, preaching, visiting, ministering, and attending to the gospel and the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I decree it to be so, that your tongue will be as a pen of a ready writer, that your witness will be effective, that your word will become fruitful and manifest, that those all will see and hear will see the demonstration of the power of God, that your words of consolation, your ministry of cards will touch the heart and break down the resistance, bone-like resistance, to receive all that God has for those that will receive it as you pen it and send it out unto the people of God. So as it was for Apostle Paul, let that same anointing be upon your hands, upon the words that you will pen to that one that's incarcerated, to that one that's sitting sick and shut in, to that one that's not able to come back, and to the community of faith because of whatever condition or situation that will hold them bound. We recognize that the ministries that God's given unto us will and shall be effective in this earthly realm. And Father, we thank you. We decree it to be so by the blood of Yeshua and the key from the house of David, according to Isaiah 22 and 22, I declare the door open in Jesus' name, because I take the key and open it on your behalf. Now walk through that door, dear God, child of God, and watch God do it in your life and bring it to pass. Father, this is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Truly, child of God, this has been a blessing that you have stayed with me and received that glorious prayer and impartation. May the blessings of the Lord continue to rest root and abound henceforth and forevermore in and through your life. Tell somebody, encourage someone, and let them know that they can come and listen and receive fresh manna and the word from the Lord for their own very soul. There is soul food when they come home to Helen R. Ministry of Empower on the Blog Talk Radio. We encourage you to share this information with a friend that they can log on and be blessed. Until we meet again, may God bless you.